Morning, Mark.
Hey Mark, how are you, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Sorry, I'm a little early.
No, it's fine. Disable the waiting room so people can come in. Morning, Randy. Oh, sorry, you're muted.
Good morning. How are you? I'm better muted, so I was just going to kind of stay that way. That's all right.
I've actually spent time with you, so I know that is not the truth.
I don't know. You ask my wife, and she's like, muted. You're pretty good. You're pretty good on mute.
No. Morning, Doc.
Morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
Doing
Good,
well.
good.
Nice to see your smiling face.
That's what I'm doing this morning.
Oh, there we go.
Hey.
Hey, I'm impressed.
I haven't stepped it up to get one of those stand-up thingies like you got, so I just got to go to the bike.
Well, I haven't used it in about a week, so it's not doing me much good leaning up against the wall.
Amen. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Randy. Look forward to
Good
hearing from you.
morning. Thank
I'll
you.
put
Good
myself on
morning.
mute so I don't sound like I'm dying over here.
Morning, Kevin. Mr. Knight, good to see you.
Hey Mark, good morning.
Hey Mark.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey
How's the
Kim.
drive so far, or the ride?
About 10 minutes underway. So far so good. It's David's taking me. So I'm in the hands of part of a third of the board here, so hopefully I
Awesome.
can make sure we make it. I'm forcing him to listen to a Be the Edge challenge call. See, that's what this is all about.
There you go.
That's a good way to do it.
Randy, we have a couple of eager people to see what you have to say.
Well, they'll get over that once in a
Earl.
while.
Here, I'm sorry I haven't gotten up there to meet you or even had a call, but we're awful grateful to have you and excited.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to I was excited just to learn about what you were doing here. So this is great.
Well,
Kevin's
Mark's
gonna.
a great partner of the Edge. I'll tell you that. He's a great part of our leadership is what he is. Now, are you in a hotel room somewhere, or is that original beach painting?
No, that's in my office.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a watercolor of a street in San Francisco that I just
Nice.
saw it in the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, and I bought a print because I just loved it. And
That's great. Yeah, it's very cool. I'm hoping. I was hoping you were at the beach, so.
yeah, well, listen, I was hoping I was at the beach too. So.
Yeah, we're supposed to be going down this weekend, but looks like a tropical storm or maybe even a hurricane might be coming into the Gulf this weekend or early next week.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I
Glad to
grew up
see
at the
you.
beach, so I've had plenty of it to satisfy me for a while.
Which beach was it?
Daytona.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hope you do now, Mark. You got it.
Sounds good. Well, it is 8:50, so we will get started. Welcome to the weekly Be the Edge challenge call. My name is Mark Bowling. I'm with Black Sheep Productions, and Kevin has asked me to co-host these calls with him. We are really looking forward to hearing from Randy Walton this morning. Randy is a speaker. He's a coach. He's a business consultant. I have had the opportunity to spend what I think was supposed to start out to be an hour coffee with him turned into 2 hours, and I just really enjoyed our time. So I am really looking forward to Randy bringing us our challenge call this morning. So with that, Randy, I would love just to hand it off to you.
Great. Well, and just like Kevin said, this is probably going to turn into 2 hours. So brace yourselves. We'll go from there. It's great to get to join you guys today. And just to share a little bit, I'll try to keep this relatively brief, but I have the good fortune in the work that I do to spend a lot of time with business owners, entrepreneurs, ministry leaders, folks in a lot of different walks of life. And one of the things that I have noticed, and I don't know that it's a conscious thing or maybe an unconscious thing, but there's this subtle
pull or this tendency for people to look at their circumstances as if I can just eliminate all the problems, if I can get rid of the temptation to, or the risk, economic risk in my life, if I can take away uncertainty, if I can get my business to this place where it's humming, if I can get my ministry to this place where it's just running on rails and everything's sort of on autopilot, if I can get my relationships where they're just, everything's copacetic and wonderful, that would define success for me. And I think that unconsciously, those decisions play themselves out in things like I become less generous because I need to maximize my own economic situation, or I become less giving in a relationship because I'm afraid that there's an inequity there. But however it works out, I see this pervasively. And I've also had the experience of working with a lot of leaders that have been able to exit from businesses, for example, with significant resources. And I was with a gentleman out in Arizona one day, and he grabbed me and he said, I have $38 million and I don't know what to do. And I thought, well, give me a chance to play with that problem for a while. I think I could work it out. And he wasn't interested in helping me with that experiment. But I thought, how fascinating, because I think on an unconscious level in my life, I'd always aspired to this idea that if I could just solve for all the problems, then I've arrived. Then I've really fulfilled sort of my earthly or worldly potential, right? Now, on a spiritual level, we recognize that that's not true. So the second part to go to this is that when I was a young man, I was sitting in church, and I'll never forget having a pastor stand up and he said, hey, we're going to read from the book of James today. And he jumps into James, and you know the verse in James, we've all heard it, but I'm going to read it, and I want to read the Message version of this for you, where he says, and this is from James 2, and he says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And that used to scare me, honestly. I found that to be a bit of a terrifying verse because I think I felt like that meant God was going to start loading problems on me and that crises were going to come because God was sort of engineering this maturation process in my life. And I was a little bit afraid. I don't know that I trusted God in that moment. But I think that what happens is that we all sort of operate on that same principle, that if I can somehow manage all the risk and manage all the uncertainty out of my life, that I will then have full happiness. And then I think we wrap it in, I'll reapply myself into other things, maybe more kingdom focused things and all of that. And I think what happens is that if that's my goal, if my expectation is to remove the problems and the stresses and the struggles, right, then what happens is when things happen, because they do, because we do live in a fallen world, and when stresses and struggles and strife comes our way, we treat that as the problem rather than the point. I don't think James would have said that we're to consider it joy. We're to consider it pure joy. We're considered a sheer gift when you encounter various trials and tribulations. You know, in organizations, I see leaders that struggle to hold people accountable. And I think in their mind, accountability is this unkind thing that we do to others. It's adversarial. It's me applying my authority over you. It's not respectful, or it's not equal to you, or somehow it's an unfair, unjust, and unchristian behavior. But the irony, I think, is that James is saying, no, it's actually the most Christian behavior, because God will hold you accountable, right? And you have this opportunity to step into adversity and grow out of that adversity. In fact, it's kind of your purpose is to do that. And so in the same way, when we have people that we have responsibility for, whether they're children or employees in an organization or even volunteers that we're bringing together for a greater purpose, to not hold them accountable is really to say, I didn't believe that you had what it took. To hold them accountable, to let the weight of the problem sit with the proper owner, is actually a kindness, because it says, I believe so much in your ultimate capacity that I won't cheat you out of that opportunity for growth. And God does the same thing for us. You know, people, I think sometimes think, I stayed out of the water, I haven't drowned, so I'm a good swimmer. And that's a ludicrous proposition, because you're not a good swimmer because you stayed out. You just didn't drown. But sometimes we have to be in the water. And if we don't feel the tug of the water, if we don't know how difficult it is, if you've never been a swimmer, to learn to swim, then we really don't understand what our own capacity is. And once we learn that, we gain new confidence and new capacity. Another part of this is that we can easily put ourselves in situations in our life where we never increase the stress that we carry. We never increase the weight. We don't dive in to opportunity and challenge because, again, the goal would be to level out all the uncertainty in our life, to level out all the frustration and negative experiences we might have. But that doesn't make sense either, because what we know from exercise physiologists, for example, is that if you go to a gym and you pick up that same amount of weight every day, you just go get on the machine, do the same weight, do your little routine, it's not going to hurt you. I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that that's not going to ultimately have benefit for you. But I also know that it will never increase your capacity. You're not going to increase your capacity doing the same thing. You have to increase the weight, the intensity, the duration. On some level, you have to express greater demand on your physical body for your physical body to then break down. That's what happens when muscle grows. It's a tearing and a breaking down and then a rebuilding. And as it rebuilds stronger and it recruits other resources to make us healthy. I think the exact same is true for our spiritual bodies. I think we have to be willing to step into adversity, not to treat it as the enemy, but to treat it as a gift, to really embrace it. And I had a young guy I was mentoring one day, and he said, "So you're saying I need to embrace the suck?" And I said, "Well, I don't know that I would use that expression. I think someone else came up with that. I think he invented that term, but I thought it was kind of funny." And I didn't disagree. I think we do need to embrace the suck. But that's terrifying unless we are rooted in the ultimate idea that God, and that's what the rest of the book of James does, is God, he's saying, God will equip you for every struggle. He will equip you for every hardship, every adversity. And so if it's true then that God wants us to grow, if it's true then that these challenges and struggles, which will come to us, not by God's architecture, in my opinion, but because we live in a fallen world full of broken people and circumstances, but if those adversities will hit us and then we can push through those and embrace the idea that this is my gym, this is the place where I actually live up to the greater purpose that God has, not the thing that's the obstacle to my ultimate goal, then we'll reframe our attitude. We'll be able to see those things as a sheer gift. And just like in the gym, as we rebuild and regrow, we will come out stronger and prepared for that ultimate purpose that God has for us. So that's my challenge for you today. Step into that adversity, step into that struggle, and really grab the weight.
That's awesome, Randy. Thank you so much. I love the idea of seeing our businesses and the opportunities that we find in life as our personal gym. That's a great metaphor. Love that. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And as Kevin would say, and Kevin, do you have something that you wanted to add?
That's a great word. Great challenge. I'm encouraged. Embrace the suck. All right. I'm going to put that on a business card. Hey, or embroidered on a shirt or something. But anyway, no, that's, hey, you're going to have it in life. You might as well either embrace it or get beat up by it, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Randy. Hey, get it back on the schedule, Mark, quick.
Well, awesome.
Hey, let's see all of you at Seahoy, October 12th and 13th. Have a great day.
Thanks, Randy.